Hello, my name is Olivier Aubert, and I'm going to present to you today a digital humanities project involving crowdsourcing called Recital. Recital is a project led by Françoise Ribelin, who is a professor of literature at University of Nantes, and Guillaume Roichard, who is assistant professor in computer science at University of Nantes. A bit of context first. Recital means Registre de la Comédie Italienne, so it's about studying Comédie Italienne theater history. More precisely, it's done in the context of the CETEFI Research Lab. CETEFI means Centre d'études des théâtres de la foire et de la Comédie Italienne. And it's a research lab that aims to study in literature and history the fairground theaters in Italian comedy theater in Paris around the 18th century. So in the context of this lab, there are multiple projects. For instance, CRSFI deals with the edition and study of plays, theater plays. Théâtreville deals with musical scores of these plays. Vespas wants to build reconstitutions in virtual reality of theaters of the 18th century, of Paris theaters of the 18th century. And Recital, which I'm going to present today, is about studying the accounting registers. So, what are we expecting to learn from these accounting registers? Yes, in these registers, we'll find the performed place titles, the incomes of the theaters, like the sold tickets by category, the private lodges by rich people, for rich people, the expenses done for each play, the taxes, the accessories, the musicians that were involved, and information also about just the accounting rules or context of the for the theaters. So we want to learn from these generalities, but also find out exceptional things or events. And we'll just see one just after. The idea of this data is to be able to rethink theater history. It's economic history, like how were the authors retributed, what were the subscriptions for the public, the social history about the public who went to the theater, where did they go, how rich were they, who are the actors. There's a whole sociology of the actors at the time, especially these Italian actors here, and also a history of hardware, so the sets, the costumes, the accessories. So for instance, we can make historical investigations about one of the small details we found in the when studying this. This is an extract from one of the corpus, and it mentions a leone. Leone means lion in Italian. And another source we found from Voltaire, which made a report about this play, the play that was given on the 12th of March, 1730. We learned that the lion was actually played by a turkey. That's the kind of anecdote, which is interesting because it gives us information about how did the actors actually put the plays in scene. There is a similar project underway on Comédie Française accounting registers, so the URL is cfregisters.org, and it's an independent project, but we're in touch, obviously. And we plan to at some time to cross the information and to see how they could be interlinked. So what is the corpus we're using? The corpus is accounting registers. They are kept, it's a series of books, kept under the roof of the Bibliothèque Musée de l'Opéra in Paris. And we had these registers digitized. And they're now available on Gallica, the French, the digital library for the French National Library. So we've got these are the covers of the digitized books. Another view of these digitized books is this figure, where we can see that from between 1770 and 1794, we have 13 seasons missing, so the light blue squares. And the overall period covered here consists of 64 registers of 1300 to 1600 pages, which means we have to digitize, extract information from 26,000 pages. And what are in these pages? So you've got, this is from one of the register here, the 1760 register. We've got 77% of daily accounts. So the account of for each day, for each play, we know what was played, the expenses, the incomes, and so on. Each month we had a monthly recap, and then we've got a final state at the end of the year, at the end of the season, where a recap and also various information about exceptional events, which are interesting, and 10% of blank pages. So this example here looks quite nice and well formatted, but all the corpus is not like this. Here lines are clear and clearly horizontal. The original corpus among the 64 registers, they're handwritten pages with more than seven bookkeepers, so people who had to write. So we've got more than seven styles of writing in more than two languages, because it's mostly French and Italian, but Italian writers were from different regions and they had different dialects. They use the currency of the Ancien Régime, livre sous denier, which is, okay, monetary unit of the time. And all along the century, we had changes in the formal rules of accounting and balance sheets. So all this diversity makes it a complex corpus to analyze, because we had, for digitizing this, the information inside them, we had two complementary approaches. One which is automated, AI-based with deep learning algorithms, and the other which was manual, involving expert knowledge and crowdsourcing workforce. The AI automation, it's been experimented in the context of projects. So there was a PhD work by Adeline Granet during the project, but it reached difficulties because of the corpus characteristics, so all the irregularities and a lack of ground truth. There was no previous data to feed the algorithms. So now, off-the-shelf, I mentioned that off-the-shelf open solutions now exist for HCR, which is OCR, optical character recognition, but applied to handwritten character recognition. And Transcribus and eScriptorium are two open source projects that we are studying, but it takes a while to put in place and to train and so on. So it's not in action currently in the project. We instead choose the other approach. In addition, in parallel with the AI approach, we use the crowdsourcing approach, which is more tedious, more workforce demanding, which demands also a lot of community management, community animation, but it's very good for irregular contents because, okay, humans are good at analyzing these kind of things. And they're also, humans are also better at identifying exceptional or interesting items because it raises questions, and we had interesting discussions about the kind of anecdotes I cited before, like the lion or whatever. And the crowdsourcing approach is indeed a requirement for building the ground truth data that we need for the algorithms, if we intend to use them afterwards. The thing that it raises, apart from the animation and community management, are the issues in the data quality evaluation and data validation of what comes out of this process. We use this crowdsourcing platform, which is called Scribe API. So Scribe API is software issued from the Zooniverse project. Zooniverse is kind of a meta project around crowdsourcing. So it offers a platform for different crowdsourcing projects, mostly in digital humanities or science, physics. It's MIT license. It's a Ruby on Rails platform. And its interface was quite appropriate for our project. So we see here the crowdsourcing, we're dividing three activities. We had marking, transcribing, and verifying. Marking meant segmenting and categorizing data. The categorization was categorizations either of the pages. Here we see the selection of different page types. And once a page type was chosen, it defined the categories that were displayed, because we had more than 100 data categories to pick from, to select. And the fact that we could select beforehand a page type allowed us to focus on specific data categories. Once the data category is selected, we can mark the area that corresponds to this category. And then in another task, in another workflow, have someone transcript the square that was marked, the area that was marked. And once the transcription phase was produced results, we could validate, make kind of peer validation using the crowdsourcing interface of the data, the produced data, in case of differences. If the same data was transcribed identically twice, it was considered as okay. If there were some differences, so we had this verification process that would allow another person to validate the best transcription, as we can see here. So what's good about Scribe API? First, it's open source, so we could install it ourselves. We could tweak it to our needs. It allows collaborative annotations of images. And it's able also, it's got an interesting data and project model, which allows you to express chained task sequences. Like this mark, transcribe, verify are three different workflows which are articulated, because the output of each workflow is the input of the following one. So this was very interesting. And the interface was well thought and very accessible to non-technical users, and which was important in our crowdsourcing approach. There are problems. It's not ideal because it's a complex architecture model and model. The data model is complex because of this workflow modelization. And a more technological issue is that it reached end of life in 2016. So the upstream author decided to stop developing it, and the GitHub repository is now read-only, and it didn't age very well due to the technology stack that was used: Ruby, JS, CoffeeScript, and Node. Mongo is okay, but Ruby and JS, CoffeeScript are at many versioning issues. So the current project is unbuildable as is now from the current repository. We have it run on our servers because we could dockerize the version that we installed at the start of the project when we started using it. So we're okay with some tweaks, some hacks. We have a version that works. But not all hope is lost, because there is an effort by Utrecht University to update the critical dependencies. There is an unmerged pull request in the repository that we plan to have a look at and evaluate if we can use it in our context. And I described only the crowdsourcing part, and now we've got a mass of data. We've got about the half of the corpus that is covered by crowdsourcing. And now we've got different things to do, like data quality evaluation. So the first phase was crowdsourced, like in the interface I showed before. A second automated phase with checking, crossing with information with external tools. And a third, manual, just have an expert evaluate the quality of information. And in parallel with quality evaluation, we've got cleaning and validation using custom tools with external information, like the list of play titles, of actor names, and whatever. We developed a dedicated user interface, a dashboard, so that experts could access the information easily and manipulate it. And we plan to integrate AI-based tools like eScriptorium, which I mentioned before. Now that we have data to feed into these algorithms, we can try again to apply these tools either to validate or to create data on the non-crowdsourced part of the corpus. And finally, we plan to do some data publication using FAIR principles, of course, and collaborate with the other projects like the Comédie Française project I mentioned before. If you want to contribute, you're welcome on our crowdsourcing platform, recital.univenant.fr, and I will be pleased to answer questions.